We are live. It was day Tuesday. How you doing, man?
I am doing better than you. There is no doubt. There is not liquor in here or beer. It's just hot water. Just so I don't sound like you, because you know we are broadcast professionals. So you got to keep it nice and smooth as long as you can. But you're hearing me, okay, right?
Yeah. Sound good.
Okay. Well, good. Good. Well, we got some news for you. I'm sort of just going to dive in here because I'm not sure how much I'm going to either A, hear you, or B, your audience is going to hear you. So lots of news, as you can imagine. The biggest story right now is certainly what's going on in Israel and Gaza. I'm going to put this water down. I just got to remember to pick it up later. Otherwise, I'll get in trouble with all the people here in the studio. So anyway, Israel, Gaza, it's, you know, a humanitarian disaster, no question about that. Certainly, there are a lot of competing viewpoints in terms of who's right, who's wrong, what should be done next. All that said, tens of thousands of people, including hundreds of people from Connecticut, today were in our nation's capital for the March for Israel. And the show of support is being organized by the Jewish Federations for North America and the Conference of Presidents of Major Jewish American Organizations. The marchers are pushing for the release of the hostages that are held in Gaza and are calling for an end to hate. They're not calling for an end to what's going on over there in terms of, you know, the Israeli army going into Gaza right now. The Jewish Federation of Greater Hartford said about 260 people from its chapter went to this event. So a lot of people from Connecticut being represented there, Rome. And, you know, shifting gears here, let's go to West Hartford and some local news. You probably remember I've talked with you on your program here, CT News Updates, about all of the death that we've been seeing in West Hartford, of all places, with all these pedestrian accidents. You know, this is known as a very safe suburb. And suddenly we had a number of pedestrian incidents last year where they were killed. I believe it was close to either five or six at least. And so they're trying to come up with ways to try to calm the traffic down there and try to get it to be a place that feels a little bit safer for both pedestrians and motorists alike. And so they got wind just the other day that they now are getting a $700,000 state grant that is going to help them fuel an 18-month pilot program for speed enforcement cameras. So you better watch out when you're in West Hartford. You know, they're certainly hoping that this becomes a deterrent so folks don't speed and don't end up running over people. If the town council approves this, the hope is to have the cameras installed during the first quarter of next year, so first 3 months of next year. The technology would be installed in up to 15 locations. I know that they're definitely going to be trying to focus in on school zones and places like that. There are other definitive locations that will still be established, according to the town, and decided after more careful analysis. They do have something called a Vision Zero task force in West Hartford. And what Vision Zero is, the goal is to have no pedestrian or motorist fatalities at all. So certainly they've got their work cut out for them. I'm sure the Vision Zero Council in West Hartford has a lot to do with, you know, not only where these speed enforcement cameras are being placed, but just the fact that they got them and got the grant. I know that that task force has been going on for close to a year now. Let's see, what other news on that? And of course, the big point here is certainly all of this stuff is reckless driving, whether it's speeding, changing lanes, blowing through crosswalks, or jaywalking. It can be the people walking or bicyclists. But if all this reckless driving that we've been seeing has you frustrated, NBC Connecticut Investigates has been undercover since May, recording my commute and also just our NBC Connecticut crews driving across the state. And we're going to show you on Thursday night at 11 some of this video that we've compiled. And it's very alarming, frankly. frankly, when you see what's on our roads. You know, I can speak for myself. I'm on the road every day. That's just what local news people do. But a lot of folks aren't, you know, and they hear about it, but they don't always see it. Or you could be someone who's like Rome, probably driving in this, and you've been a victim of reckless driving, I'm sure, where someone's cut you off or whatever, gone through a stoplight and, you know, cut, you know, kept you from going when you had the right of way. And it's very frustrating. And this is going to validate you a little bit in terms of, you know, you probably come home after a real frustrating commute and you're like, golly, you know, this guy did this to me and this, but you didn't have video to show your roommate, your spouse, your friend, your parents, whatever. We're going to validate you. We're going to show you all of these things, everything from going through stoplights to speeding to lane changes to stop signs. I don't want to blow the whole story, but it'll definitely be something you want to watch. But moving on to other news here. The Postal Service has released its shipping and mailing deadlines for this holiday season. And the good news is we got a little time. Today is November 14th. So if you have friends or loved ones in the military, you need to get that package, generally speaking, by about December 9th. It needs to be out, you know, whether it's going to an Air Force base or, you know, whatever. If it's a member of the military, December 9th-ish is your date. If you're regular civilians like us, December 16th. If you don't get it out by then, you're in big trouble. But you got a month, okay? You got a month. So make it happen. And then the other thing on that is my colleague Caitlin Burchell is going to have a story coming up in the 5 o'clock news on this. Or actually, it is 5 o'clock now. We're not live, but your audience will understand. But you can go to NBCConnecticut.com and you can see Caitlin Burchell's story about, you know, shipping deadlines and all that, because I just gave you the real top line. I mean, she's got all the details and ways to save money, and you're going to want to watch that. She's an amazing investigative consumer reporter we have. Another way you can save money is this new thing going on. Have you heard of microtransit?
Yeah, that sounds real familiar.
Really? Because I hadn't heard of it until I watched NBC Connecticut News at 11 last night. One of my colleagues, Jane Caffrey, did a story about this new program in the state. And what it is it's like this bus or a minivan, and they have a bunch of them all around the state where it's almost like an Uber. And you can call them and they'll take you somewhere. The reason they're doing it is because there's a lot of parts of our state that are underserved by mass transit. And so this is sort of a way to make up for that. It's affordable. It reaches these underserved areas. And, you know, it would close some of the gaps in the public transportation grid. This program, I think we got a price tag. The state's putting $20 million toward this for a two-year program. Microtransit service already exists in some parts of Connecticut. You would imagine the more densely populated areas where they certainly have some demand, even though that's not underserved in terms of, you know, mass transit. So there's Wheels to You in Norwalk and Westport. There's the New London Smart Ride, Stonington Hop, and the Extra Mile. So we're going to see more of this, at least in an experimental way, just to see if, you know, the thought is, okay, we don't need to send bus service to this rural or, you know, this area with not a lot of volume. Could be in the middle of the city. Instead of, you know, having a dedicated bus route, and you're seeing a lot of bus and train routes getting cut, maybe microtransit is the way to go. We'll see. You know, you got to try different things. That's one of the things government is around for. In addition, government pays for UConn. And I got some UConn news to end things off here. Gino Auriemma, the coach of the UConn women's basketball, has seen hundreds of players come through UConn over the past 30 years. The names have changed from Rebecca Lobo to Sue Bird, Diana Taurasi, Maya Moore, Brianna Stewart. The standard has not. The 8th-ranked Huskies passed Tennessee Monday, earning a spot in the Associated Press women's basketball poll for a record 566th consecutive week, wow, breaking a tie with the Lady Volunteers of Tennessee for the most all time. During their 30-year run, the Huskies have never been worse than number 18, the team's ranking in the preseason poll of 1993 when the streak started. So they've net the 18 when they got on the poll, and they've never looked back. So salute to the UConn Huskies and Gino Auriemma, and what a program. I don't know if they're on tonight. Do you?
I'm not sure. Go Huskies, though.
Yeah, I gotta watch something. I was watching Monday Night Football and the Celtics last night. And, you know, got to find some sports. There'll be some hockey or basketball. But that's all I got. I got to get back to the news before I can watch some sports.
All right. See you next Tuesday.
You feel better, my friend. I hope you're not – I'm sure you feel fine, but you're just raspy, right?
Yeah.
All right. Well, hopefully the voice comes back and mine stays here. So we'll do this again in a week.
All right. See you next week.
All right. Be well, my friend. Feel better.
Take care. Thank you.